But the Lord is faithful, right? The Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Praise God, right? That's awesome. Do we believe that this morning? Man, I hope so. I really hope so. Last week, we started our series, and it's called Judgy. Now, don't judge because it's not spelled right, or it's not even really a word, right? So don't judge on that point. But we started this sermon series, Judgy. And we had this wall up here, and I hid behind it, and you guys didn't see me, and I said some horrible things about how you guys look like you got dressed in the dark. Do you remember that? Yeah, I said those things. Yeah. I said some meaner things. And what the criticism I got afterwards is like, you could have been so much meaner. I'm not taking that information and running with it. Trust me this morning, all right? Now, if you remember, when I came out from behind it, I had a problem. Anybody remember that problem? I had a lot of criticisms about this. I had missed a button and put it up here. Now, I want you to know, there were some facials that were amazing. There was a couple of people in the crowd going, dude, you okay? Do we need to get the security team? Like, we had that, and I had people come up to me afterwards going, I was praising God when you fixed it. Because I could not focus. All I could see was you missed a button. Right? Now, I want to explain some things. Now, if you remember, I was behind the wall. I made some statements about how you looked. If you remember, right? And we talked about the plank in my eye, and I'm looking at the dust in your eye. I couldn't see you guys behind that. I could peek around. I will tell you the things that I was saying. I was scared to look to see if you guys were still here. All right? I could see a little bit over here. And the things I was saying, too, there was no reaction. It was complete silence out here. And I thought, oh, man, did I hurt some feelings? Right? There were some worries that I was having behind this stage, behind that veil curtain, right? And then I came out, and I was like, okay, they're still here. But they're going, what is going on with this person? Did Ben wake up wrong today, right? I felt that. Now, what you don't understand is, like, I think I have to explain, I came out misdressed, and I was making fun of how you looked. The correlation there is this. It was obvious I had a problem, but it was so easy for me to see your problem and not see mine. Right? Now, church, this is the other aspect of it. You know what would have been amazing in that moment? If I had, and it would have been awkward, but if I had somebody come in and go, hey. And like take me back and like, hey, let's fix that. Let's get behind the curtain because we don't want to see, maybe some people out here haven't seen your mess. Right? Today we're going to talk about how we do this not so well. How we look at the mess of this world, how we look at the mess of each other, right? And we don't handle it very well. And again, it's this, if you remember, right, it is so easy to find the sawdust in somebody else's eye and forget you have this giant plank in your own, right? We gave out pieces of wood last week, right? And some of you took some extra, you go, hey, you need this. Right? Like, this is understanding of what it is to be a follower of God. And what it means is that we don't pick these up. We've got stones in the back that I'm going to give you, and I purposely did not give it to you early. Because I want to walk out of here today. All right? I'm locked and loaded, so be ready, front row. All right? Harrison, right? But we're going to talk about what it means to pick that stone up, right, and what it looks like in our world. There is a verse, and we've talked about it. It's found in John 8. John 8, 1 through 6 says this, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn, appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. Now, I want you to know, this is, Jesus had been teaching. People were gathering because, man, his teachings were amazing. He was one of those speakers, like, the moment he opened his mouth, people were like, what is he saying? This is awesome. I'm intrigued. I want more of this. Have you, like, not what you guys get on a Sunday morning, all right? It's okay. Like, God is good, and Jesus is like this guy that people followed around from town to town because of what he was saying was so life-giving. It is something they've never heard before out of righteous men at that time. It is something new that they were amazed by, and they wanted it. They wanted it. Have you ever heard somebody or been part of something that you're like, man, I just want that. I need that in my life. This is what was happening in this moment. Now, at the same time, he was teaching things that were countercultural of their time, especially within the church, especially with the righteous people. And then he had the righteous people coming along, sitting there going, I disagree, ready to get them, right? And in this moment, we had the Pharisees, we had the teachers of the law sitting around going, okay, how are we going to get Jesus, all right? And so we have it right here. And he sat down, teach them, and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. Now, I want you to know, this was locked and loaded for them. This isn't one of those things that they're like, oh, this just popped up in our lap and we can take this woman. They waited for her to commit this probably, and they grabbed her, and it wasn't about this woman. It was about Jesus and putting Jesus on trial. Now, church, I want you to hear this for a second, all right? I want you to understand this for a second. I believe fully that we still do this. We tend to weaponize who God is. We have a desire to put an understanding of what sin is. And I'm going to tell you, this is what we believe sin is. Sin separates us from God. Anything that separates us from God is sin. All right? We understand that? I know that sounds maybe vague. Listen, we live in a sinful world. We have since the fall of man. Since Adam and Eve chose to eat from the tree, sin has entered this world and we have been corrupted ever since. Okay? And we have been, everyone in here, my precious little girl, my precious son, we, all of us, are born into sin. All right? We understand that. We get that. And we, like, I'll tell you, I did not have to teach my son how to lie. He lied. I don't have to teach my daughter how to cry and annoy me and wake me up in the morning. She just did that. Right? Can we agree upon those things? Like, we are born into sin. And then there comes to an age of accountability that we understand, hey, I'm choosing a life of sin, or I'm choosing a life that Jesus Christ has come in and freed me from sin. All right? And I believe Jesus Christ died on a cross for me, so I don't have to bear the weight of my sins anymore. They're paid full price, right? And I'm a new being in that, and I believe that. All right? We still live in a world of sin. And guess what will happen tomorrow unless this moment Jesus comes back? At any moment, we will still live in a world of sin. All right? Now, from Jesus' time, even before, we had the law in the Old Testament. And if you read the law, there was tons of laws. Now, you had the 10 famous ones, right? The 10 commandments. Do we understand that? Those were given to Moses, and Moses took it, and guess what his people did with it? They made it like 250 within like a year, right? And we just continue to have law and law, and they just want to go, okay, so the perfection of what it is to be a godly man is what we don't do or how we live. Right? And it is by my own understanding of how I walk this way and do this, right? And this is what Jesus is dealing with during this time. And they had all these laws and the understanding. And guess who governed those laws? The righteous man. The Pharisees, the ones that knew the law, the ones that would be standing up here. Let's go. Right? It was that mentality. And if we were back then, I'd tell you how you lived your life for God in a way of like, hey, you better give this much or you're not holy. Or you better not take 15 steps today or you're not holy. This is the Sabbath. So if you guys have already exceeded 15 steps, you better repent. Or, and we'll just leave it there, right? I'm only telling you this because this is the standard in which Jesus was talking to this crowd, and these Pharisees and these lawmakers are sitting there, right? And they go and get a lady who had committed adultery. And I want you to understand, they had every right to grab this lady by the laws in which they lived under God to bring them before everybody and to be stoned. And not only did they have a right, this lady knew they had the right. Now, within the standard of where she lived, she probably was codependent. She was probably some lady that she didn't have a family anymore. She probably didn't have the necessities to live life. And so she went from house to house to sustain herself. It was just how the culture was during that. I'm not trying to make excuses for her actions, but I'm telling you within the context of who she was and where the context of that structure of life, she probably had to do this in order to just eat. And I want you to get this understanding because that wasn't part of the compassion of God for these people. The compassion that they had is, well, you did this sin, let's drag you out and convict you of this sin. Right? So they sit there and they bring her before Jesus, and Jesus, you ever have one of those moments you're like, somebody poses a question or gives you an option and you're like, I don't know what to answer here. And they're codependent on an answer right now. You ever have those moments? They're high-stress moments. It's one of those moments you sit in a board meeting and you think you have everything down, and all of a sudden somebody throws you a curveball, and you're like, I've got to be smart here. I got to answer right. This is one of those moments for Jesus. And what I love for Jesus, no question's bigger than him. He can handle it. And then what he does is he gets on his knees, doesn't answer them right away, and he starts drawing in the sand. So I've decided if I want to be like Jesus, whenever I have those moments, I'm just going to get on my knees and start drawing. And I will see what happens, right? I think people will look at me weird. I don't suggest this if you're out in the workforce, right? It'll just look a little weird, right? But in this moment, it was amazing. And what does he say? Let's pull it up. What does he say to him? They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman is caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? They were using the question to trap in order to have a basis of accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write in the ground with his finger. First off, there's such a compassionate scene here, I feel like. Like he's taking it in. He's understanding what's going on. He's so wise. He knows that they're coming after him and not this innocent bystander pretty much, right? They're using her in the situation that she's in to victimize God. They're going after Jesus in this moment, right? Who is this that's doing this? Church people. All right? So he says to them, they were using this question to trap. Did I go back? He straightened up and said to them, let any of you who is without sin and be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Whew! All right. Powerful words, one statement. If any of you who have not sinned, go for it. I wonder sometimes in the world that I live, if there's anybody in our time that would go, okay, and just chuck it. Do you think in your life that you could see that? That we don't understand the same sin that we like this world lives in. And let me explain this too. Let me backtrack about sin. If we were to put a ranking system with sin, do you think you could do it? You don't think so? Boy, I want, like, you know what? In the internal Ben Alexander, if I really am going to say what I want to say, I'm like, let's put this out there. I think we would. Whether it's subconsciously or on purpose, I think we would start, we could easily go, well, that's worse than this sin, this sin, this sin. Like, this is not the worst sin. I was just telling people about your business. Like, that's not that bad. Like, I veiled it under, hey, you should pray for him. Right? Like, hey, did you know so-and-so is going through this? Pray for him. Right? No. And then we go, well, homosexuality's, whoo, that's a lot worse than this. Right? Am I the only one? Like, we live the rankings. We do. And if you really look at the what if the church, and I'm talking about the universal church, decided, hey, we're going to fight liars. We're going to fight this ambition to lie. And that's going to be our cause, and it's going to be our understanding, like, this needs to be our hill that we die on. Right? But we do it with other things. Am I wrong? We do. And what I think we kind of do is we drag this sin before the church. And I've had people ask me, well, we need to do this. We need to do this. And what we're waiting for is this. Let's go after that sin. Let's bash it. Let's hit it. And what I love here is he stands up and he looks at him, hey, if any of you have not sinned, go for it. Right? And if you know the rest of the story, I won't leave you into suspense. At this, those heard began to go away one at a time. And I love this part. I love this part. The older ones first until only Jesus was left. The older ones first. Because what I think is this was going on here. First off, as you live and as you breathe, as you are longer on this earth, you have more opportunities to mess up. Right? And there is more things that you get to carry. And luckily, through Jesus Christ, my salvation is not bound to me. Like, the things that I have done in this past are no longer bound to me anymore. But if I had my Messiah laying it on the ground, and this is what I think was happening, you know, some commentaries kind of agree, he was probably spelling out their sins. And they were looking at that going, whoop, that one's mine. And the older ones probably recognized it really fast, and the younger ones are like, oh, the seniors, they're not so anxious anymore. And they started realizing they all backed off, right? All backed off. And they dropped those stones. Now, this is where the part of the story that we like to affirm. This is the part where it's like, well, but look what Jesus did. What did he say to the woman? What? Said, stand up. Everybody's left. Sin no more. Right? And I will tell you, like, this has become a calling card for a lot of us. Like, well, Jesus still said, don't sin anymore. But I want to point out some things. I want to point out, first off, everybody cleared. Her life was on trial in that moment for what she was doing. Like, she was going to die because somebody was, like, a group of men, righteous men, had rocks in their hands and weren't going to just, like, oh. They were going to full on, as hard as they can, throw that at her. And I want you to understand, when it's around God, guess what that's called? That's called worship for them. Because they were God-focused. They thought this is what God wanted. This is what God had ordained them. And it was okay with God because God had given them that law in the past that if anybody did these things, they could do this to them. And Jesus let them know, hey, they're all in the same boat with her. Right? So this lady's standing here now. Think about this. She just got a stay of execution. She didn't have to be hit by any rocks. I don't want to be hit by a rock. It's not fun. I've played rock tag. It's not fun. It hurts. And I can only imagine what this would be like by like 50 men standing around me. And how scary that is. Before I even go into the next part, do you know why people that are lost, that have a problem with church, that don't want to come in? Because they are afraid verbally in thought process, in the judgment of them coming in, that these rocks are going to be tossed right away before they even have a chance to make a relationship with Jesus Christ. And no matter what, if we are the most kind church, the most forgiving church, the most open church to embrace people, we still have years and decades to make up for judgment and harshness and anger. And you know the only way to do that is to step outside these walls to start an engagement of a relationship with people that are lost. And you don't come with this. You come with a life that's saturated in this. One that understands, hey, there is salvation, and I am new, and I am full of joy, and I'm full of hope, and I am full of what God has given me, and everything that was Ben Alexander is new now, and I got a story for you. I got a testimony to live out with you. I was a liar. I was a cheat. I was somebody that lusted nonstop. I was somebody that dealt with all sin, and now I'm free from it. Do I still struggle? Absolutely. But my God is bigger than that, and he helps me through it, and he forgives me daily, and I keep moving forward with them. Woo, right? That should be the story we live out in this world. But I think a lot of us look at this world, and it's going to hell in a handbasket. Am I right? And we're scared to death. We're scared to death of what's going to happen tomorrow. We're scared to death of legislation. Man, what happened to knowing that God is bigger than all this? That God has transformed me, the person that I was, and he has called me into this new life until I lay down these stones and I embrace those who are lost and I love them through it. And guess who said, get up and sin no more? Was it the righteous man that was sitting there? It was Jesus Christ. Do we still believe that he whispers that? Do we still believe that he says that to us? Because he did to me. I want you to know there was no pastor that got me saved. There was no evangelist that got me saved. There was no amazing person that got me saved. It was through Jesus Christ that I heard the Holy Spirit move in my life and transform me. And it is the voice that still moves in my life today. And the same voice moves in your life. Do you understand that same voice is still moving into lost souls? That God has a business out there that he wants them to know that there's a bigger hope, a bigger joy, a bigger understanding of what life is than what they've surrounded it by. And we sit there and go, man, they're horrible people. God is calling you to be next to them, to love them, to show him his grace and mercy and allow him to say to them, get up and sin no more. We need to know our place. Those men knew their place that morning. Those men knew their place that morning. They dropped them. Because what they were really afraid of, once it comes out of what they've done, and what they deserve, they didn't want the same punishment. Do you understand that? Think about that. Again, let's go back to the hierarchy of sin. There is none in God's eyes. A sin is a sin. It's how we live. That's how he is. That's how he sees us. And praise God, he does. Now, we live in a world that we understand in our own human mind, and we think, oh, what I done is not that bad, and what they do, whew, that's horrible, so we focus on that. And we have a hard time letting go of that, and we even pray, God, can you get them saved? God, can you change them? God, and God's saying, hey, listen, get up and sin no more. He's talking to you personally this morning. I believe it. He's talking to any moment that you have ever felt that you are better than somebody he's talking to you this morning that you thought of any kind of sin in general that needs to be picked up and it needs to be stoned before church, and we need to talk about that sin, and we need to let them know, hey, you're not welcome here or you're not loved here because of what you've done and how you live, and if you don't change, you're going to burn in hell. And I want you to know, absolutely, if they don't know who Jesus Christ is, and absolutely, if they don't give their life to God, they are going to burn in hell. But the reality is this, that is not for us to convey. That is for God to lay upon their soul. That is for God to put that message there. That is for God to lay there. You know what our job is? To be the loving embrace of grace that is non-stopping. And man, if there is somebody that is living a life that we know that we are personally connected to, we better have a role that is not one of this, but one of love. One that goes the extra mile. One that's willing to sacrifice everything so they can see the love of God and what he's doing for them and wants out of them and needs them to know. Imagine church. There's probably somebody in your life that you've been battling, that you've been fighting, that you've been struggling with, that you've had debate back and forth, right, about what's wrong and what's right. What if you ended that and just said, listen, this is what I believe. Jesus Christ came and saved me. I deserve every punishment I ever get. But his grace is so sufficient. The stone is laid down. And I get to pick up a cross and follow him. And what that means is I lay my life down 24/7, right? And there are moments I will stumble along the way. There are moments I will be a hypocrite. There are moments that I'm selfish and I struggle with. But my God is so big, so much love, that he won't hold it against me if I repent and move forward with him. And this is the other thing. The closer, this is awesome about God. The more that I'm willing to live a life with God, the more that I'm willing to want God in my life, the more time I've spent with God, guess what I don't want to do? The things that cause me to be voided from God, the things that separate me from God, which is sin. And again, it's not about my self-righteousness. It's about this realizing who God is in my life, and I want more of God and less of me. And this is the other thing that's crazy. The more that I have of God, guess what starts to happen? God starts putting me in situations that I will be used for him that are uncomfortable. There's a story of Tony Campolo. I don't know if I've told this story already. I'm sorry if I have. It's just come to mind, and I feel like I need to share it. He's a great evangelist. He was a professor for religion. I mean, he was just one of those speakers. He spoke at Promise Keepers for Men. He was just one of those guys. When he spoke, you're like, I want to hear him. He's very smart. And he can convey a message. I'm like, okay, I want that, right? Well, Tony Campolo is an older man at this time, and he was in an inner city. He was doing a conference for men, again, of speaking for God, right? And he walked across somebody that was a streetwalker. And she had to be 16 years old. And his heart broke for her. And you know what he did? He bought her time. Brought her up to her room, his room. And he told her about the gospel. Do you know what could have happened in that moment? Do you know if any Christian was driving by and knows Tony Campolo and sees what he's doing and she goes into a hotel with him, what's going to happen? Do you know that he didn't care, that he knew sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in that moment meant more than anything else, and that his reputation, he was willing to die on the cross for that? It wasn't about Tony Campolo and all the image and all the things that he had, all the accolades that he had stored up. It wasn't about that. It was about sharing the gospel with somebody that. That's dangerous faith. That's understanding, hey, I need to lay on the rock and actually live with the people that need Jesus Christ. Stop pulling them before our church and start being the church that they need. Listen, we've said it, we've praised it, God is bigger than sin, right? We believe it? That we believe that God, like if we're worried about our future, I just want you to know God's got it. He wins, right? He wins, whether it's during our lifetime or not. Whether the end times come tomorrow, guess what? If it's in God's plans, let's start realizing that it's in God's plans and trust him and then live to go and like that. Hey, tomorrow could be the end. Guess what? I'm going to live as if God is working here, and if I have a chance to share his gospel, I'm going to do it. And that gospel and how I share it is one of those ones, man, I'm embracing him with new hope. I'm embracing him with understanding of what joy is because it's beyond this world. You can't find the joy that God has in this world. And what I mean by that is like the things in which this world provides, God's bigger than those. Whatever circumstance you find yourself, wherever you're at in your life, whatever misery you might be in at this moment, God is bigger. And he comes along and he goes, let me lift you up out of this misery, not the situation you might find yourself in, but let me know, hey, you're not bound by this situation. And you know, when a world sees that and when they see the joy in your face, whatever situation you find it in, man, they are transformed. They're like, what is going on with Bill today? He's got something new. And didn't they just diagnose him with cancer? Didn't his wife just leave him? Didn't his kids kick him out of his house? Like just misery, and is he in financial peril? Like, he's just full of joy. You imagine his testimony going like, I found a new being. I found something new here. I found relief. It is not of this world. It is of Jesus Christ. He came and saved me from my sins, and now I have a reason and a purpose to live. And it is not bound by the circumstances here, but it is bound in eternity. And I want you there. Right? Now, to the lady that stands up, she has a choice from this point on. We don't get to hear the story of her afterwards, which is frustrating, right? We kind of want to know, so did she go back to doing the stuff that she was doing? We don't know. But I honestly believe Jesus' voice is so strong, it changes lives. If he whispers in your ear, I feel like, whew, yes, I'll do whatever you want, right? Just one of those moments. And he told her to stand up and don't be a sinner anymore. Do you know who her new identity is? It's no longer found in the adultery that she was. It's no longer a dirty word anymore. She's a Christian. She's a Christ follower. She's a believer. She's one that's her life has totally changed. And she lives for him. Do you know who she is in her community? She gets to go back into her community, and hopefully life has changed so much, they're like, hey, you're different. You're not this person anymore. And now you're sacrificing how to live, how to survive for what you believe is faith in Jesus Christ. And he's sustaining you. He's providing for you. He's giving you a new life. Look, church, do we believe that Jesus Christ is bigger than our problems, can change the world, can do work in you? He can do the same in somebody else's life that is completely opposite and void of God. Do we believe that? Right? He can put a new title on your name. He can put a new being in your being. He can put you in a place that you've never been before and that you're not bound by these things in which you were bound to. He can do those things. We are called to lay these down. Stop looking at this world as if it is completely, utterly hopeless, and look at it in the world where God goes, I have sent you out there to show them the hope, to show them the love, to show them the grace, to show them there's a better way to live. And if you pick up that rock, you better be ready for it to hit you in the face when you throw it. This morning, I have rocks back there that's this size. And my hope is that you'll take one of these rocks per family because we didn't get enough. You can chuck that at me, all right? I want you to take one of these rocks. And my thought process was, first off, what is it that you need to allow God to free you from? What have you been hitting yourself with that you've been going, hey, I need to change, but I'll never change, and I'm in misery. And you're your worst critic, and you don't understand that God loves you, and he's not here to stone you, but he's here to embrace you and say, get up and sit no more. He's helping you to get you off your knees of the world that just beaten you down, whether that's the church world, the world out there, whether those two worlds are just beating you up, understanding that God is full of grace and mercy, and he wants to free you from this. Right? And I want you to understand this too. Maybe he needs to free you from this mentality of you're better than others. That we look out in this world and we go, man, they just don't get it. They're horrible people. They're going to hell. You know, when we lay this down, it changes our whole perspective of how we see people. Yes, they're lost. Yes, they're hopeless. They don't understand the grace of God. How can they even breathe? How can they feel alive? How can they know what it means to be freed from this? We lay this down and embrace them with understanding of who God is and wrap them around that and allow God to do his work. Allow God to come in and be the judge and the jury and us be the ones that are just going there and doing the work. Because that's what we're called to do, church. Yes, we have a world that's messy. You know what that means? We have work to do. We have places to be. And we got to stop with the holy huddles and understand we got to get in the game that God has called us to be a part of. We better get off our knees and start doing what God has called us to do. Stop throwing stones and start inviting people to be in a relationship with God. Right? That's what we're called to do. So this morning, when you leave, my hope is this, that you take one of these rocks as a family, right? And that you write freedom on there. And then you put it in a place somewhere that you can see it maybe daily and go, okay, God has freed me from my sin, and he's freed me to love people that are in sin. You hear that? And when I say love, I mean love. And sometimes love is messy. Sometimes love is not fun. Sometimes there are times that God will put in a voice in your head and you go, listen, you need to let them know this isn't good for them. But it comes out of God. And not our own righteousness, not out of our own selfishness, not out of our own judgment. We better be in line with God. All right? So that's my charge. As a family, take one of these before you leave this morning. Grab it. They'll be at the doors when we leave. Write freedom on it and understand what that looks like for you, to understand that you're free from your sins because of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, and you're free to love people that are in sin. Because they need him. And you're the answer for that. God wants to use your voice. I want you to know that I'm a testimony, Jesus being used by people to share the love that God has moved in their life. And I stand here this morning because of that. And two of those people are here this morning, Chris and Julie Bott, right? I want you to know the work that they did with our teens, I was part of that. They loved this stupid teen. They showed me grace and mercy when I did stupid things. They showed me what it means to be a family of God going through life, right? They showed me things of how, like, they will love even though I say dumb things, even though I do dumb things, even though I am dealing with sin and understanding, trying to figure out understanding who Jesus Christ is in my life. Not once did I ever feel from them And I'm picking on them because they're here. But it's awesome because I feel like it goes along with it. So sorry, you can throw a stone at me later. All right? But they showed me grace when during this time, I wouldn't be shown grace. Church, they were symbols of God's love, beacons of his hope, beacons of his joy and salvation, and I wanted it. You know, I'm not the only one that wanted it, and we need more of it. We've got to stop pulling today's sins, going, hey, let's stone them, and start caring for the sinner that needs God's salvation and this simple voice saying, stand up and sin no more. God does the judging. Let us love. Right? As tough as it is in this world, yes, it's a mess. But we're in this world together. And we're no bigger of a, by our own standards, we're a mess too. And we need to know that and we need to understand that. Church, stand up with me. Before I send you, I got a couple of announcements. I was going to get hit if I don't announce this. Volleyball, right? Volleyball is Thursdays? Tuesdays. All right. Whew. Tuesdays. Now you'll remember it. It's Tuesdays at 6:30. 6 to 8. I will get it right someday. 6 to 8. Tuesdays. Don't come here Thursdays because nobody's here to play volleyball. Tuesday, 6 to 8, volleyball. It's an awesome ministry. It's an awesome opportunity to get around and just hit a ball and exercise and be bring friends and be here, right? It's a lot of fun, right? I've come and watched. They look like they have a lot of fun. My daughter likes to play. She comes and has a lot of fun. She doesn't want to miss it. Bring friends if you want to do that, right? It's an opportunity to share God's grace, love, and connecting them to us, right? And there's a lot of people that don't go to church here that show up on that night. We have a platform. All right. Also, Spring Fling is next week. Is that right? It is next Saturday night. Okay. What time? 6:30. All right. I will get these announcements down next time. I'm giving you rocks. I'm really scared right now. All right. Woo! I'm sweating it today. Anyway, God is good, right? And if you need any of the other announcements, it has all the information on this sheet better than what I can announce to you this morning. All right? But God is good, and this is my hope. I charge you, church. Don't pick up the stones. Be free and allow God to work through you this week. Know that your sins are forgiven, and God is waiting to forgive those sins of others' people, and he wants to use you this week to do that. All right? Be his grace, his mercy. Be his love in his arms that embrace. Be those who are not ready to throw a stone. Be those who are ready to say God is good and he's full of hope and he's full of desire and for them and he brings them joy. Right? Be that church this week. Okay? You're dismissed.